You're listening to a message that we hope will help you grow and have a deeper relationship with God and others.
We're going to talk about Jesus being the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father. And this will be in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. In case you need to look for that in your Bibles, we'll be there in a moment. But the idea of unboxed is being able to unpack out of the box whatever item there is. And some of you might have gone on YouTube and check out a gadget or a laptop or an item or something that's inside a box, and the person in the video would unbox whatever's inside and explain the features, what's inside of it, all that stuff. And so what we want to be able to do, as I said, to unpack what Scripture says about these four titles of Christ in the Old Testament, specifically in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Okay? Now, in the Old Testament, you'll notice this. In fact, there are more than 300 messianic prophecies about Jesus that foretold the coming of the Christ. More than 300 of them. All right? How many of you know history is His story? Okay? It's God's story of redemption, redeeming humankind, starting from Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned. From that time, it set in motion the redemptive plan of God to save you and me. All right, and so that's what we're trying to unbox. Now, as early as 700 years before Jesus came, God spoke through the prophet Isaiah to announce the coming of the Messiah. Now, He was excited to announce that the coming of the Messiah, because, you know, I'll explain later after we read the scripture, the environment and the atmosphere, it was dark, ominous, foreboding. It was just a lot of desperation, a lot of despair. That was the environment and the climate of the people, the spiritual climate. And so he was announcing, wait, guys, There's a Messiah that's coming. I'm sending my son. It was kind of like a couple who just found out they're having a baby and making that announcement to grandparents. Kind of like the video I saw one time. You know, the kids were the couple was announcing to their parents that they were going to be grandparents. So they had them put headphones in their ears while there's music ongoing, and they were trying to communicate the announcement, and so they were trying to lip read the children, and so that what their children were saying. So it'll make much more sense when I explain to you, again, as I said, the spiritual climate that was going on. God was 700 years before Jesus was coming. He was excited to make the announcement. My son is coming, and this would mean the reconciliation of creation to the Creator. And so Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, if you have your Bibles with you, and if you are open to that scripture, could you stand on your feet? We're going to read scripture together. If I could request you to stand, we stand to honor the word of God. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the Bible says, For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Lord, thank you. You have given us your word to bring wisdom, to bring guidance, to bring, Lord, counsel to us, Lord. In fact, Lord, it is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. Thank you that your word is living and active. It is like a double-edged sword. Lord, I pray that you would use your word to pierce our hearts today. Speak to us in a powerful way, Lord. Not I, but you, Lord. I pray that you would your Holy Spirit would come, Lord, and speak to us, Lord. Thank you. We give you honor. And thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to study your word. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may go and have a seat. Thank you. As I said, we're going to unbox this title of Jesus, the Wonderful Counselor. Now, let me start off by saying this. I don't know if you realize it, that we actually make thousands of decisions each and every day. Research tells us, experts tell us that about 35,000 decisions, conscious, unconscious decisions, every day. I don't know if you realize that. 35,000 decisions. You know, you woke up this morning. Will you get up from the bed or not? Continue to sleep or not? You know, will you attend the 10 o'clock or you attend the 12 o'clock? You know, or will you brush your teeth first or take a shower first? Will you eat breakfast? What kind of breakfast will you eat? Just on and on and on, decisions and choices that you have to make every waking moment. Cornell University made a research, actually a study, and talked about, you know, we make 226 decisions every day for food alone. 226 every day. I guess for Filipinos, that would be about 500. We eat a lot, right? And so about 500 decisions a day for us, okay? And so 226. Now, Christmas, maybe 1,000, right? Because of all the Noche Buena and parties. But 226 decisions every single day. And so that's why you have all these apps from Zomato, Foursquare, Yelp. Just all these to give us, you know, insight and to help us make the right decisions. I remember a time when my wife and I took a trip with our father-in-law, my father-in-law to the States. And, you know, when you go to the States, there's a lot of food choices there, right? You know, you get all these, the food servings are just huge. And you get asked, you like salad with it. So you get, you know, you choose a salad, what kind of salad you want. And then, of course, they run down a whole list of dressing, you know, from ranch, blue cheese to everything, okay, Thousand Island. And then once you make that decision, you go on to the next decision you have to make, right? So you go to, potato. Do you want potatoes with it? Okay, French fries, mashed potatoes, baked potato, or, you know, wedges, and just all these different decisions. And then you go to your main course. If you get a steak, you know, you choose whether that would be, you know, medium well, rare, well done. And then you get to your drinks, right? Pepsi products or, you know, Coke products. And then so the server was asking my father-in-law, was asking the question, you know, what would you like to drink, sir? And so he had a unique way of saying things. He said, oh, I want Coke. Okay. So, of course, he meant Coke, right? So, I want Coke. And so the server leaned forward and said, sir, could you repeat that again? And he said, Coke. And so, sir, one more time, sir. Coke, okay? And so, sir, sorry, I can't seem to understand. What is it, sir? Pepsi, sabi niya, okay? Pepsi, okay. So he got it. She got it after a while. But anyway, just all these decisions you and I have to make. In fact, we want to make the best ones. So we go to, you know, people who are experts in the subject field, in the matter that we're trying to make a decision on. We go to people who are friends and family members who know us, who means well and has the best intentions for us. And that time, the Israelite nation, as I said, was going through a deep, dark situation. Okay, these were the things that we're going through. They were distanced from God. They were far away from God. In fact, they've turned their backs on God. If you read Isaiah chapter 1, you'll notice there. It says that they have turned their backs on God. They would stretch out their hands to God, and God would not listen anymore because of the sin that's in their hearts. In fact, they would offer offerings to God, and they did not, you know, God wouldn't receive it anymore because their hearts were full of sin. They were distanced from God. Not only they were distressed. Why? Because from the up north, the Assyrian army was coming. And that would propel them to a captivity under the Babylonian captivity. And so there were the Assyrians coming, and so they were frantic. They were panicking. They were not sure, what should we do next? They were distressed. And then now in darkness, they were walking and they were saying, where do we go from here? In fact, they were starting to look for wisdom in the wrong places. Which is why in Isaiah chapter 8, the Bible says this. And when they say to you, consult the mediums and the wizards who chirp and mutter, should not a people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? What was he saying? What was God saying? Guys, listen, I'm your king. I'm the invisible, immortal, wise one, and yet you do not come to me for counsel and wisdom. You're going to these mediums and consulting the dead. you know, you're reading the horoscope in the newspaper. You're asking, you know, Madame this and that. You know, you're looking for a crystal ball, okay? You're looking for for counsel and advice in the wrong places. But you know what he says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2? The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. He's saying, I understand you're going through a tough time. I know you're going through darkness. You've turned your backs on me, but you know what? A light will shine. I'm sending my son. Kind of like that grandfather was so excited. I'm sending my son and you will receive salvation. You will receive the redemption, forgiveness of sins. He was excited. The people didn't have a clue what they were about to receive, what they were about to get. And then verse 6, the Bible says, you're going to get the son, my son, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting father, prince of peace. Now, what does that mean, wonderful counselor? Now, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Greek and Aramaic. And so, the Old Testament, you know, the word for wonderful meant a cut above the rest, to be singularly unique and extraordinary. I realize that when we use the word wonderful these days, you know, it's flippantly used. How was the movie? Oh, it was wonderful. How was your dinner tonight? Oh, it was wonderful. It was amazing, right? But the word that was used here was distinct, and it meant singularly unique, wonderful. In fact, in the New Testament, when Jesus came, the word that was used more often was amazed, amazing, that they stood in amazement in Matthew over and over. They were amazed at his teaching. It was powerful. It was in Matthew chapter 8. It was, they were amazed at the winds and waves obeyed him. Matthew chapter 13, they were amazed at who he was. Okay, where did he get all this? Matthew 15, they were amazed at his healing power when somebody who couldn't speak spoke. Matthew 21, they were amazed that the tree would obey him and his voice. And then over to Mark, they were amazed at how demons obeyed. They were amazed at how paralyzed bodies sprang to life. Amazed that Jesus walked on water. I mean, over and over and over. I couldn't even list everything else. That doesn't even include Luke and John. Wonderful counselor. Amazing counselor. Now also, Bible says he's a counselor. The word that was used there meant, you know, to give advice. Okay, to guide. To be able to give advice and to guide. Now, these days, when you talk to a counselor now is would be like a therapist, right? You know, sit here, okay, sit on my couch, you know, tell me what's happening. Mm-hmm, yeah, okay. How's your family? Mm-hmm, yeah, okay. Right? That would be a counselor these days. They would listen to you. Okay, all right. Mm-hmm, yeah, okay. But then, those days, a counselor was a strategist. He was one who had lots of wisdom and experience. He was one who people would go to because he had wisdom in how to win political campaigns. He would give advice in terms of how to win a war. He would give advice on how to start a business venture. He was a wise person. And the Bible says Jesus is our wonderful counselor. He's an amazing counselor, full of wisdom. You think about the New Testament, when Jesus walked on earth, he had amazing wisdom. Remember the woman who was caught in adultery? And then everybody wanted to stone her to death. And so Jesus asked the question, whoever has the first, who has no sin, cast the first stone. And everybody started to walk away, couldn't answer to that statement. And then Jesus asked the woman, he said, where are the ones that want to condemn you, who want to stone you to death? She said, they're gone. You know what he said after that? He said, neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more. Listen, I don't know if you realize that's incredible wisdom right there. There's a lot of grace, a lot of mercy there. But from that same statement oozes holiness and purity. He speaks on the Sermon on the Mount and says this. He says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And I don't know what you're going through today. This might be a word for you today that God's delivering. Don't worry. Be happy. And then that's not the Bible. Okay, don't worry. Okay, you cannot add a single hour. In fact, it might even, you know, lessen. Okay, take out hours in your life by if you worry. Then Matthew chapter 16, the Bible says, he says to the crowd, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet you lose your soul? That's wisdom there. You can get everything you want and accomplishments that you get in this life and yet you lose your soul. Jesus, speaking to Peter, you know, Peter came up to Jesus and said, Jesus, okay, if somebody hurts me, offends me, all right, and I get offended by that person, okay, I'll forgive him. But what if seven times he hurts me or offends me? So I'll forgive him seven times? Now, he thought he was already being generous by seven times. Jesus answered, he says, I do not say to you seven times, but what? 77 times. Other translations say 70 times seven. Okay? Now, Jesus didn't mean count. Okay? All right, this is your 72nd time, 73 now, okay? He didn't mean that. He meant do your best to get rid of unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart. It'll do your well soul if you actually flush that out of your heart. As somebody said, you know, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. What makes him a great counselor? What makes Jesus a wonderful counselor? Okay? Let me give you three thoughts. Number one, because he knows us. He knows us. He knows us, okay? He guides us and he represents us. Number one, he knows us. John chapter 10, verse 14 says, he is our good shepherd. He says, I know my own and my own know me. Did you know that God knows you? Now, sometimes that's not too obvious. You pray and it doesn't get answered. And you're in a crowd and it doesn't seem like God's favor is upon you. Somebody gets blessed, okay? Somebody gets extra Christmas bonus, you don't, right? Somebody gets a blessing, you don't. And you wonder, Lord, do you really understand what I'm going through? Or you're going through a very tough time and you're saying, Lord, why me? Why am I, you know, a bomb gets dropped in front of you and, you know, you find out somebody in the house has cancer. Lord, I don't know. And so, but the Bible says Jesus knows you. And doesn't just know you, he cares about you. You are fully known and you are fully loved. I don't know if you understand how pregnant that statement is. You're fully known and yet you're fully loved. Because the hardest thing, if I ask you today, one by one, what's your deep, darkest secret? You probably go second tier, third tier. You won't tell the darkest, right? Because there's shame there. I won't tell you, okay? Why would I tell you? But you see, God knows what's inside your heart and yet unconditionally loves you anyway. He knows us. And here's the thought. The one who knows you the most is he who can counsel you the best. He who knows you the most can counsel you the best. He's the one who can counsel. Why do I mean by that? What do I mean by that? Because since he knows us, from point A to point B, you know, people who are counselors, they can try to know us. Or people you phone in questions in a radio or something like that or on the internet, right? You ask them questions and they'll give you, you know, some type of wisdom. But if they don't know where point A is and where you're at, they can't bring you to point B. But Jesus knows you where you're at. And that's why he can counsel you the best. You know, of all my human relationships, it's my wife who knows me the best, the most. married more than 20 years. And my wife, her name is Jen. And Jen, you know, to this day, I still like playing basketball. You know, when you play basketball, I guess at my age, you play basketball, you're in your mind, you're making a dunk shot, you're you know, taking a three-point shot, and the ball is no longer in your hand, right? She says, you know, you're too tired. You know, you'll just end up with a sprain, right? And so don't go out anymore. Just stay at home. You know, what happens is, you know, I play hard-headed, just go out anyway and play, right? So I play, and I get home with a sprain, right? And so I walk with a limp. Okay, as I go home with a limp like that. And those of you who are married, those of you guys, right? When your wife looks at you a certain way, you know they're saying, "I told you so," right? I mean, they look at you, it's like, you know, it's like, it's a half smile, half growl, right? And you know they're mad, right? So I told you so. And so now I've learned to, you know, walk without the limp, even if I have a sprain, you know. And it's like, I try my very best. But you know, even though she knows me the most, okay, it's nothing compared to how God knows me. He knows me more than my wife knows me. He knows me more than I know myself. He knows me, and then He guides me. He guides us. That's the counselor He is. Going back to that scripture in chapter 10, the sheep know His voice or hear His voice. He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. And when He has brought out all His own, He goes before them. He doesn't push you towards the front. He goes to the front and He leads us. He guides us. He treks and He blazes the trail. Leads us and guides us. Several weeks ago, I went together with some friends, one of which is a pastor from Victory, Ortigas. His name is Glenn, Pastor Glenn, and another guy from here, one of our Victory group leaders, together with our children. And so we went trekking, hiking, and we went through this path that didn't seem like, is this going somewhere, right? And so there's a lot of trees, and it was a really narrow path. I wish I had a better picture, but this is one of the pictures that's like, it would go down. I know they're smiling, but it was like a deep, dark ravine going down. It seemed like we were going off the cliff, right? And so, but we just followed the guide, and when the guide brought us to where we needed to go, this was our view, right? That's right. It's a tremendous view. We got up there. That's my 12-year-old son, Ryan. So we got up there, and it's like, wow, we need to get a picture, right? And so, I think about our life experiences. We go through some, you know, we don't even know what to do, and we don't know where it's going, and it's like you can't see 2 to 3 meters up ahead, but because you have a guide right there in front of you, you know he's been here before. He's gone ahead of me, and he has had experience in this trail before. I can trust this guide. And so now, when you're going through a deep, dark valley, you know what the Bible says? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Our Father is with us. He, our wonderful counselor, is with us. See, the things that we go through, sometimes we don't understand His ways. We may not totally understand. I don't know, Lord, why you're allowing me to go through this. Why me, Lord? I mean, it's like, why not Him, right? You see, you may not always understand His ways, but you can always trust His heart. I love what A.W. Tozer said. He said, "All that God does agrees with all that God is." Because He's loving, you can trust His ways are always loving. Because He is gracious, you know that His ways are always going to be gracious. Even if you don't understand His ways at the moment, you can trust Him. You can trust His character. You can trust His attributes. Because He knows the plans He has for you and for me, not for our calamity or harm, but for our hope and future. Finally, He represents us. He knows us. He guides us, represents us. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. There's only one mediator between God and man. There's one God. Everybody say one God. There's only one God, all right? One mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That's why we can go to the heaven, to our Heavenly Father through Christ. We don't have to go through another, you know, person or another dead person or through a pastor or through. There's only one mediator, only Jesus. We go through Him. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. One mediator. We spoke to one of our volunteers in the church who's a lawyer. He says, if you want to get good counsel, this is what you want to get. Number one, you want to get a guy who listens. It's hard if you don't get somebody who listens and who just want to do it his own ways and doesn't even know your context and your situation and your problem because he doesn't listen. You want somebody who knows the law. How many of you know it's hard to get somebody if he doesn't know the law, right? You want to make sure your attorney knows the law. And then empathetic, who understands and not only just understands but feels what you're going through and then who will fight for you. You want that kind of lawyer. And you know what? That's who Jesus is for you and for me. That's what Jesus is for you and for me. He listens to us. The Bible says in 1 John, this is the confidence we have, that if we approach Him according to His will, He hears us. And then He knows the law. He's the lawgiver. He did not come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it, the Bible says. And then empathetic in Hebrews chapter 4, Bible says He is our high priest who sympathizes with us because He has gone through temptation like you and me, yet without sin. And then He fights for us. He represents us. He's our advocate. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have what? An advocate. Everybody say advocate. Okay, an advocate is somebody who comes alongside, okay, a counselor, a paracleto, somebody who is with you, who is a defender, your supporter, who will be with you every step, who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He doesn't just say, okay, Lord, these are the sinners. I know, Lord, you're holy. I mean, Lord, I just pray, can you just, you know, let them off the hook, please, you know. He doesn't do that. In fact, you know, He flips it and says, I'm going to take the sentence that is tagged on them. I'll put it on me. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. And so He became sin for us, took the penalty upon Him. That's why in Colossians chapter 2, the Bible says, you were dead in your transgressions and trespasses. God made you alive. And then verse 14, how did He make us alive? By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He canceled the record of debt. When God looks at you today, if you've given your life to Jesus, He looks at you just as if you've never sinned. He sees the perfection of Christ in you. He sees you, not the sin. Now as we end this time here, let me give you a few practical thoughts. Okay, Paolo, I know that He knows us, He guides us, He represents us. That's great. But how do I see that come to pass in my life? What's some practical tips? Okay, what are some of the practical applications? Let's bring it down to daily life. Let me give you quickly four. How does God counsel us? How does this wonderful counselor bring counsel to us? Simply through His Word, through the Spirit of God, through His people, and through prayer. Through the Word. And the Word of God is living and active. As I said, it's a lamp unto our feet. How does one man stay away from sin? By living according to Your Word. I have hidden Your Word in my heart so that I might not sin against You, the Bible says in Psalm 119. His Word. And in His Spirit, John 14 says, the Spirit of God is the one that brings about the Word that's in there. The inner witness, the peace, the Spirit of God. In fact, the Spirit of God, the Bible says in John 14, 26, is the one that brings to remembrance what word was lodged in there. remember my son, who was 5 at that time, just discovered the wonders of ATM machines, right? So he saw me, you know, pull out an ATM card from my wallet, right, and put it on the wall, through the wall, and just and sees 500 peso bills come out, and he says, "Wow, Dad, you can put a card and you get 500 peso bills. Could you just keep putting that card so we can go to Toy Kingdom today?" All right, and then he discovered, of course, the credit card. Right? Wait, swipe and swipe and swipe, and then you don't even have to. I had to explain to him, okay, what you take, we need to make sure there's something in there. It's deposited. See, in our hearts, there has to be a deposit of the word, and then the Spirit will pull it out and make you remember, okay, when you need wisdom at work, God's going to bring it out. When you need wisdom in terms of decision making, God's going to bring it to surface. When we need wisdom in relationship matters, God will bring wisdom there. The Word, the Spirit, through His people. I pray that you go to people and you surround yourself with people who will push you to God, not pull you away from God. That when you have a problem, it's not, "Oh, let's just go to this bar and just drink it off." Okay? It's, what does the Bible say? Let's go. Let me pray for you. Let's talk about this. Word, Spirit, His people. And then through prayer. Bible says by prayer and supplication we can present our requests to God, and then the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. God gives us counsel. God gives us wisdom. Let me wrap it up and say it this way. My wife was in the 11 o'clock service earlier. I was telling a story. You know, when I've told you the story before, that I grew up in a, today they call it a dysfunctional home. Then when I was growing up, it was tagged as a broken home, broken family. So I grew up in a broken family. No dad. My mom and dad split up and all that. And so a few months before we got married, she was having second thoughts if she was going to get married to me. Okay, of course I thought, "You're having second thoughts? Second thoughts? It's me. Right, you know, joke on me." And so, I said, "She said, you know, I'm not sure, because I'm not sure how much of a father you'll actually be, or a husband. You didn't grow up with your dad." I mean, again, I say this not to dishonor my dad. God restored that relationship. I'll tell you another time that story. But just God restored that relationship and fixed it, and I actually eventually led him to the Lord before he passed away. But she said, "I don't know if you're going to be a great dad." She grew up in a wonderful family, complete set of parents, amazing siblings. And I said, "I don't know what to say." I didn't know what to say. And so we prayed through it, and eventually she still went through with the decision. And I guess I turned out okay. Okay naman, diba? So I asked her earlier, "Okay naman, diba, Jen? It's okay, right? I'm okay." So she said, yeah, pwede na. Okay, so I said, "Okay, but you know, I'm so grateful, because I have the Word of God that taught me how to be a father, how to be a husband. And I'm grateful that the Spirit of God is with me, inside of me, to bring conviction when I'm wrong, to show the weakness if I'm actually going the wrong direction. And I have the people of God around me. I'm so grateful for people like Pastor Christian, Pastor Joey, who can tell me to my face, 'Hey, you're not treating your wife right. What you said was actually offensive.' And gratefully, I can converse with the Holy Spirit. I can converse with God. I can speak to God through prayer." And so as we end our time today, I want to encourage you. God's given us the tools. God's given us the opportunity to receive wonderful counsel from this King, King Jesus. We can avail of that. Amen. I want to pray for us at the end, but could you bow your heads for a moment? Lord, I thank you, Lord, that the Bible has given us wisdom from your word and has revealed to us who this king that came 2,000 plus years ago. And Lord, this afternoon, thank you that, Lord, we have been fully known and yet we are fully loved. For God so loved, He gave. I just want to pray for some of you here today. You might be here, maybe it's your first time. Maybe you've been here many times. Maybe you were dragged by your parents, or maybe you're here, your friend told you you're going to watch a movie and you ended up here first before the movie. But Lord, I pray that the Lord will speak to your heart. If you're here today and you're saying, you know, Paolo, I realize that Jesus came so that my sins can be canceled out. The debt of sin, the record of the penalty that was caused by sin, Jesus revoked that and canceled that. He gave His life for me. It's about time I give my life to Him. So if it's you, if that's you, if you're here today, if you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus, could you just raise your hand? I feel there's a few of you that need to make that decision today. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. Just keep raising your hands. God bless you. Those of you who are watching on live stream, you can pray this with us. God bless you. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you up there. There's about 10, 12 of you. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you that through your death, my debts are canceled. I can have a fresh start. A new beginning. And Lord, today as I give my life to you, I pray that you'd help me live for your glory from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we all stand as we end? You know, when we go today, when we leave, part of the 35,000 decisions, you'll have a lot of decisions, okay? When you go out to parking, will you get mad, you know? Lunch, will you, you know, all these, what kind of food you're going to eat and all that. Let me say this. God gives wisdom, and the Bible says in James chapter 1, if you lack wisdom, He will give us generously this wisdom to those who ask without finding fault. I think that's pretty cool. God doesn't look at you and say, hey, you know, you didn't read your Bible today, I won't give you wisdom. Hey, you didn't go to church today, I won't give you wisdom. Hey, you know, you did this, sorry, can't give you wisdom today. Sorry. No. He's generous if you come to Him, the Bible says. And some of you here tonight, today, you might be going through a crossroad. You are faced with 2016, maybe you don't have a job, or you're faced with burden, or maybe a decision that you have to make. Should I go to this place? Should I move over to this career? Should I start this new business venture? Should I relocate to another city? Should I pursue this girl or this guy? Okay, should we have children? Okay. I want to pray for wisdom. Okay? Bow your heads. Could you just raise your hand? Lord, I pray for men and women who are raising their hands, even those who are in live stream today. Pray, Father God, that as we ask you, the Bible says, Lord, you will give it generously without finding fault. And Lord, today, Lord, thank you that you said to trust you with all of our hearts, not part of our hearts, not some of our hearts, but all of our hearts. And Lord, when we do that, you said you will direct our path, you will make our path straight. And so, Lord, every single one raising their hands, Lord, we look to you for wisdom. Lord, wisdom through your word, wisdom through the counsel of godly people, wisdom even through, Lord, the Spirit of God that brings peace in our hearts, and even through prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, shower and pour out your wisdom upon your people so that, Lord, when we make that right choice, all glory and honor and praise goes to you. And Lord, those of us, Lord, who, Lord, are asking for wisdom, and maybe, Lord, the answer may not be what we preferred. Lord, there are, Lord, maybe you'll tell us something that it's something that we don't prefer, Lord. I ask that you would give us grace, Lord, to be able to trust your character, to trust your attributes, to trust your heart, to trust, Lord, that you lead us, Lord, through even through the green pastures, through the deep, dark valleys, but even lead us to the green pastures, to trust you every step of the way. Thank you, God. We give you honor. We give you praise. Thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, that though you know us fully, and yet you love us fully still. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody shout amen. God bless you. See you next week.
Thank you for listening. More messages are available for download at joeybonifacio.com. It is our hope that you will have a deeper relationship with God and others.